Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour are brought to you by the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with the one and the only Chef John Ash. And it's very nice to see John Ash this morning. Isn't it nice to see you?
It is nice. Well, why do you say that?
How are you doing?
I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I was shocked to get this email this early this week on Monday, Tuesday, that this week that Sonoma County fishermen and restaurateurs and chefs and the Sonoma Economic Department, along with the Tourism Department, were officially naming this week Black Cod Week. And I looked back on some of our older recipes. You first gave a black cod recipe on the show in 2010, almost 15 years ago. Black cod with miso marinade, which we're actually posting on the KSR website this morning. So it's been around a long time, but really no one, I think, besides chefs possibly, were using this fish. Not certainly at the retail level.
No. It's always been available, but I think part of it is the confusion calling it black cod. People think, oh, it must be a cod. It's not. It's a different fish altogether. It also has a couple of other names that people may be familiar with. Sablefish is its other name, and butterfish.
We've heard both of those.
And the reason it's called butterfish is it's an oily fish, which is really delicious. It never dries out. You can't overcook it. You can cook it till it falls apart, but it'll still be moist. And that's why chefs especially love it.
Oh, so it's foolproof almost.
Yeah.
So for home cooks, this would be great.
Yes. And this promotion means it's cheap in the market.
It's on sale.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful because it gives fishermen another outlet to sell product instead of just relying on salmon, which is always seems to be impacted, or halibut season or some of the other ones coming off our Sonoma County coast. Which are expensive. So go for black cod. And also, you did, in one of your recipe packages, this is the one from 5 years ago you gave, you talked about hot smoked black cod.
Yeah.
And being that you just mentioned it has high oil content, it would do really well on the smoker, wouldn't it?
It's wonderful.
So eat more black cod.
So I should tell you, it's my favorite fish. If I were going to eat one fish for the rest of my life, only one, it would be black cod.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But a lot of it, as you mentioned in your article, had been exported to Japan.
Yeah, yeah. They do famous things with it. Smoking it is one of those. It's typically served that. And then with miso, with a miso marinade, it gets really delicious.
Really delicious. Yeah. And it's fished all up and down the West Coast, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's an amazing fish. And remember, it's not a true cod. It's not a Pacific cod.
No.
It's a whole different species of fish and high fat content. So this has got to be a healthy fish.
It is. It is.
High omegas and all of that.
Yeah.
Omega-3. So eat that and live longer.
That's right.
Okay.
And you'll grow taller.
And you'll grow taller, too. Yeah. So it's funny this coincides because Thursday night you were down in Novato at a marvelous, marvelous training school called Homeward Bound. And they have a program called the, they train youngsters to cook, don't they?
Well, they do. They're mostly known.
Fresh Starts.
Because they help the homeless. They've been one of the most active people to help homeless, and they provide housing and all of that kind of stuff. It's quite an amazing
and training
and training. And so what they do is, rather than just provide housing, they also provide training, culinary training, so that they can go out and get a job.
So was this a fundraiser on Thursday night?
Yeah, it was.
And they featured your recipe.
Yeah.
Which was pretty exciting. The sable fish with chanterelle and parsley sauce.
Yeah.
How did it turn out?
Turned out great.
It did.
They did a wonderful job.
Because they couldn't overcook that black cod.
That's right.
So this recipe, now you call it sable fish. You don't call it black cod in the recipe.
Yeah, but you can call it sable fish.
Sable fish. Butterfish. It's all correct. Yeah. We've posted that on the KSRO Good Food Hour website this morning.
Yeah.
So you can make this.
It's really delicious. And partly because it cooks, you cook it simply, and then you make this marvelous parsley sauce, which is just... It's like making pesto or something, you know. So that's
can we get chanterelle now in the market?
Yeah, it's in the market there. If you buy them in the market, they tend to be kind of expensive. I think I saw in Oliver's they had them for $24 a pound, which is kind of a lot. But go get them yourself.
You can
harvest them. This is
go on a mushroom forage.
So as soon as the first rains come, then there'll be lots of chanterelle.
So wait. Yeah. Put this recipe aside until you can go pick your own.
You can use another mushroom. You don't have to use chanterelle.
Thank you. Yeah. And the second recipe we posted is the black cod with miso marinade.
Yeah.
And this was, I think you said, was inspired by a Japanese chef.
A famous Japanese chef called Nobu. And Nobu is featured in his restaurants. He has several of them, both in Japan and in America. It's been on the menu for 25 years. And people, when they tried it, it was like, oh my goodness, this is the most delicious fish I've ever had in my life.
And it's really remarkable that a fish of this quality and ease of preparation is available for us now at a reasonable cost in retail.
Well, especially on the West Coast.
Yep.
So this is not something you can find in other parts of the country, but we're lucky that it's here.
Is this a fish that could be frozen? And,
It's fantastic.
Okay, so if you don't want to cook it now, get it when it's on sale and freeze
it. Yeah. Because of that high fat content.
Yes. High fat freezes well.
Yeah,
huh?
Right.
Okay, there's your black cod tutorial and your infomercial about black cod. And supporting our fishermen, that's the main thing.
Yeah, try it.
And remember, a lot of restaurants in Sonoma County are participating in this promotion this week. You can go.
I know. I thought it was wild that of all the fish they could have promoted. But because it's kind of a local fish in many ways.
And if you want to know where to eat black cod this week, go to Black Cod Week. It's all one word, blackcodweek.com.
Uh-huh.
And there's probably 30 or 40 restaurants in Sonoma County.
I'll be there.
You'll be there. You'll run into John Ish. We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we're going to get a jump start on a great festival observance that happens next week up in Windsor. But we're going to be tasting and talking about it, and I'm sure many of you are excited about Dias de los Muertos. Now, I have to ask one of our guests before we take a break, because I've already been called to task about my pronunciation. So, Angelica, I was told, now I'm looking at your, that I've been mispronouncing this.
Oh.
I, according to your website, I've been saying Dia de Muertos. Is that correct?
Dun, dun, dun.
That's what it says.
The pronunciation, yes, absolutely. Yes, Dia de Muertos.
Well, someone said, no, you're pronouncing it incorrectly, Steve. Oh. First of all, it's Dia de los Muertos.
Oh, that's where
now,
I
wait,
said,
Pedro's
dun,
shaking
dun, dun.
Well,
because much like, you know, maybe going to New York, where they might have a different kind of like accent or whatnot, same thing. Depends who you ask and where they're from. Uh-huh. Some people would say it's Dia de los Muertos. Some people would say it's Dia de Muertos. So, dun, dun, dun. What do you say?
Pedro, we ask you, how do you say the name of this festival?
Well, Dia de los Muertos, because it's more than one. It's many in there. So, for me, it's more like los is like...
So, you're putting the los
everyone.
In there.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
I'm going to have to agree with Pedro on this one. Just like you said, there's many of them. So, yes.
So you're
many,
saying...
Many of them. Many of...
People that have, you know, have moved
passed.
On.
Yeah.
Moved on.
Oh. Now, he also said it's not Dia, it's Dias. The person
It's Dia.
Dia.
So this person is wrong. They said you have to put an S on it. It's Dias.
Well,
no?
Well, no. You know what? Because it's 2 days.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
The first and the second.
Yeah.
So if we go by, you know, how the,
it should have an S on it?
It should have an S.
Oh. Yeah. Well. See? There's a lot of disagreements.
That's why I said because it depends who you ask.
Okay.
I've seen videos from original locations, and they've had it Dia de Muertos. I've never seen Días de los Muertos, but it would make sense because it's November 1 and 2.
But tell you what, we never can agree. So, basically, so, I think Días and Dia.
Okay.
We all celebrate
so
that one day.
Let's agree to disagree.
Yes,
okay.
There
we'll take
there
a break. Thank you for not clarifying that for me this morning. Back after this.
KSRO, Bay Area home of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Chernoff Cosmetic
Horowitz,
Surgery
Eric
in Santa
Allen,
Rosa has
Kennedy.
Been taking excellent
Don't
care of patients for over 30
Raiders
years.
Game is
There's
here
such a difference
on
between
KSRO.
Doing things to people and taking good care of patients. And I've been blessed in my practice to be surrounded by people who know the difference.
Dr. Chernoff likes to use the term your natural best when advising patients on what procedures to have.
Our nicest compliment is always to create their aesthetic improvement such that no one ever knows that they've had it done. And that means creating a natural appearance, never a done appearance, never a pulled appearance.
He not only trains doctors and nurses nationwide, but also ensures his staff receives training to the same high standards.
I am proud to be referred to as a pioneer in the field of aesthetics because we have been deeply involved in the research and development of many techniques, both non-surgical and surgical.
Check the specials and services at ChernoffCosmeticSurgery.com.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
Join Chef John Ash, the two-time James Beard Award-winning cookbook author, teacher, and host of the Good Food Hour for an exclusive 2025 culinary cruise.
Set sail from Seattle and journey through breathtaking Alaskan scenery while learning new cooking techniques from Chef John Ash.
This exclusive cruise includes an intimate cooking class with Chef Ash himself, a welcome cocktail reception, and other special opportunities just for our group.
Imagine yourself cruising alongside glaciers, learning to prepare delectable dishes, and indulging in exquisite wine and food. Enjoy cruising on the ultra-premium cruise line Oceana aboard the Riviera. With just a 1,250-guest capacity, discover what small ship luxury truly means.
Want to learn more about the 2025 culinary cruise with Chef John Ash? Email Elise Corey of TravelWise at cruise@travelwise.net or call 707-935-WISE, 935-W-I-Z-E.
The culinary cruise with Chef John Ash to Alaska, September 2025. Go to this station's website and click on the 2025 cruise for more info.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Steve Garner and Chef John Ash in the KSRO Kitchen, America's longest-running radio food program. Since 1987. This is our anniversary this October.
It is. So how many years?
Oh, 37, 38.
Well, it's been 38 for
a few years.
For 5 years or
well,
so.
Well, it's a nice number.
So if we hit 40, do we get a prize?
Oh, I think we get a raise.
Whoa.
So we're here talking about the Windsor Dia de Muertos Festival 2024, and we have some great guests in the studio. So why don't you start us off, Angelica? How long has this been going on?
So this Windsor Dia de los Muertos has been happening for about 13 years. This is our 13th annual celebration. So quite some time.
It's in the town green?
It is.
Right in the middle of Windsor?
Yes.
Okay. And whose idea was this to start this festival? Do you know?
Actually, this was prior to me. So this was actually Dennis Bonet. Mm-hmm. He had started it in Windsor, and he was the actual... a bloco drummer instructor, so he was very into cultural arts. And they started with the bloco drummers, and they started creating...
So explain what that is. Those drummers. What's that word that you used?
Bloco? Oh, so it's a cultural drumming from Brazil, I believe, is where it originates, South America. And so they have big drums, and it's a style of drumming as well as dancers. And so he was into that, and he instructed the youth as a way of keeping them busy.
And out of trouble.
Yes. Yeah. And so through that, he decided to start the Day of the Dead. It was the first annual event on the Windsor Town Green. And it has organically grown over the last 13 years. Mr. Bonet actually retired, lucky duck. And during that time, they were looking for someone to take over planning the event. And I was kind of tapped on the shoulder. And I said, I would love to. And I created our nonprofit, our 501c3, to house that event. And over the years, we've organically grown to, as you know, the Windsor Taco Fest, we have the Fiestas Patrias in September. And throughout the years, we've really tried to support the small business local community with El Mercadito de Windsor. That project kind of came and went. We focus more on the larger events and back to really the cultural route because as COVID's kind of, you know, things have changed. And so we've kind of shifted to just really focusing on these events. But the start of it was actually started by someone else. And then we've kind of come in. And it's a group of us, local residents in Windsor.
It's an amazing event. And for those who haven't been there, it's like, it's huge. There are all kinds of people there. And the best part, well, it's not the best part, but are the lowriders.
Oh, yes. Yes, those are always fun. And
the classic cars.
Yes, yeah. And it really is a community event where, you know, we are not funded, so we trade and barter. Yeah. And we also, there's a lot of participation, and the lowrider is part of our culture. While it's not part of the original celebration, you know, there's those of us that are children born to people of the culture, and it's really like a mesh of the culture of the Mexican-American heritage with the lowrider cars and the original The Day of the Dead. And I think that's one of the most beautiful parts, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I, for example, I'm third generation, and so I have always had my culture instilled in me, but also, you know, I'm bicultural, so it's really cool to have the lowrider cars and part of history. And one day maybe we'll talk about that rich history, because there is quite a political resistance and like a whole story in history with that. But yes, so they are beautiful, and everyone brings their cars out and their families. It's beautiful to see everyone.
But we're going to get into some of the particulars a little later in the show of all the exciting events for children.
Yes.
All kinds of artistic creation possibilities. But we're going to focus on the food for the next few minutes also. So would you introduce who these guys are that are in the studio this morning?
Absolutely. So we have Pedro Diaz.
Hello. Welcome, yeah. Pedro. Yeah.
Pedro Diaz here.
So I'm going to call him Uncle Pedro Diaz. Because you're the uncle of this gentleman to your right.
Of course.
And this gentleman is Diego Diaz. And your dad...
Is Octavio Diaz,
who we've had in the studio a number of times over the years.
And the founder of Mitote.
Mitote, that's correct. Yeah. And Agave Healdsburg, you know.
Yeah. So you're food people. for sure.
We are. That's correct. We are foodies, yeah.
Your family is foodies. So, Pedro, what have you brought in for us this morning?
Well, today we brought pork with mole. We have two different kinds of mole. And we have a New York steak just to,
sop up the mole.
Yes. Sop it up.
That's right.
Beautiful. And do you have tortillas, too?
No. Oh. Not today. I think Mama is coming to make some tortillas outside right now. So.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Did your family make this mole?
Yes, we do make the mole.
And you sell it too, don't
yes,
you?
So, yeah. Yes, we sell it.
There's more than one mole.
Yes, seven moles.
Uh huh.
So it's just we bring the most typical moles, the black and red mole we call. Is one is a little sweeter and one is a little hotter and smoky. So you will see the difference.
The hot mole.
Yeah.
Well, I remember your brother brought that in a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And we tasted that on the air.
Yes.
And there was flames coming out of my ears. It was delicious, though. It was really good.
Thank you.
So you this is a very important recipe. It's not just something you do once a year. Mole is a part of your culture and very important for your family to honor your dad and your mom, isn't it?
Yes, it's very deep for me to talk about mole because every family, and especially this day, the Day of the Dead in Mexico, everybody brings his best recipe for mole.
Uh-huh.
So basically all the families share the mole. So they kind of go like, oh, this is better. This is, you know, they kind of go noise
around. Did your mom make mole?
Yeah, my mom made mole. So every family have a little different.
Sure.
You know, twist of the recipe.
There's all kinds of various ingredients in mole,
yes,
aren't there?
So the one most of us white eyes are familiar with is the one with chocolate in it. The black one.
Yeah, I brought that one.
Yeah,
I brought that one today.
Okay.
Yes.
So did your dad make mole too?
Yes, actually, it's kind of culture and the house because you watch every year how they make the mole. So by the time you grow, you pretty much make your own mole and your family style. So that's why, everybody have his own need.
So this is a way to connect with your parents or grandparents. This is more than just a recipe you prepare.
Yeah, and also my dad passed in the 18.
Your dad passed away in 2018.
Yes, and now we just feel like we're going to make a special mole for him because he was a mole guy. So we're going to kind of, basically my dad's going to be in home, you know, that night that day, so it's gonna be with us and that table, and the Dia de los Muertos. That's how we celebrate.
So talk a little bit about what this day celebrates. It sounds a little maudlin, the Day of the Dead, but actually it's a celebration of those who have passed.
It's a day of celebrating the life of those people that are no longer with us.
Yes,
isn't it?
This is only a special day for them.
It is, and in addition, so many families, and again, this varies by region to region and beliefs of the different indigenous peoples where the root is from. However, it is also believed that the family comes to visit,
mm-hmm.
and so it's a day of visitation, not only remembering and honoring, but just a day for the dead to come and visit us in spirit.
I can remember being in Mexico on Day of the Dead, and we had a picnic in the graveyard.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Because that was close to those coming back were there.
And many people, many families, again, it varies from region to region, so I'm not speaking for everyone. However, they go to, and they actually, it's a day of cleaning. So they'll go and clean the graveside and just really spruce it up. Some people may paint it. In addition to the celebrations and the food, they go in and enjoy the food with their loved ones. And they will bring the favorite foods of that person. So whatever they liked in the living, they would bring that and share and enjoy with them.
And go ahead.
So talk about ofrendas, what those are.
Yeah.
That's an altar.
Yes.
They're so beautiful.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about those and the importance of marigolds?
Yes, I would love to. So,
we have to do a shout out from Mrs. Garner, who brought in this.
Yes.
Don't you think Mrs. Garner did a wonderful job? She brought in a little ofrenda, which I think, I'm not sure, we got it at a Mexican market a number of years ago. And then she brought in several marigolds, the significance of that, and then the skulls.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we didn't decorate these, we purchased these, but I know that's a big part of the tradition also.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah. So the ofrenda is something that you build to, of course, in memory of the loved one. You'll put their photo on there. In addition to that, it depends, again, from region to region. Everyone does different, but some people, there's different elements. One must be the papel picado, and they all have special significance and meaning, as well as water. Water should be on there, a little bit of salt. And then you'll place their favorite foods. So you're offering them their favorite foods for when they visit. Also candles typically are on there. But I have to say, I met a family, and the reason I'm always very careful and cautious, because, you know, sometimes I get asked these questions a lot, and I am not the authority on this. I ran across a beautiful family from Oaxaca, and they actually don't believe in any photos being on the ofrenda at all. So it was a beautiful, and they also believe that everything must be made of natural fibers. So everything was sugarcane. The flowers, and they tied apples and oranges to it. And with that, what was tied also must be of natural fiber. Nothing can be man-made, because they believe that they won't be able to access it if there was something like plastic or anything like that on there. So what I really love about our culture is it really depends which, there's so many indigenous, we're a mix of indigenous peoples, and there's so many different beliefs, because each indigenous peoples have their own beliefs. So it, when you speak of an ofrenda and you speak of a Mexican tradition, it doesn't mean that every family is going to be the same. Every family is going to be different and their belief and their what they believe it could be. And so that's why I'm cautious, especially when I have other people with me, because they're from a different region than my family would be. So
where's your
when
family
I,
from?
My family's from Torreon, Coahuila. And so they're from just across the Texas border, my maternal side. And my paternal side is from Michoacan. But I'm not as familiar with those. I've learned on my own, but it wasn't like a family practice that was instilled, because my mom, I really didn't have much contact with my father. So I don't really know that much about it, but I've learned on my own. And so my practices come from my maternal side. And so I know that Diaz family is from Oaxaca. And so their perspective might be much different than what my family is. And so I'd love to hear from maybe Diego on, you know, what he feels that would be.
Yes, Angelica, thank you. So like our family, our beliefs in Oaxaca, like you guys said, every, you know, family in Mexico, not just Oaxaca, has very different ways of celebrating Dia de los Muertos. But us, and specifically, you know, our family is very big on mole. So we on the altars, like, for example, my grandfather who passed a couple years back, we love to put stuff that he loved, exactly. So, you know, we love to put the mole, we put chocolate, we put pan de muerto, look, like Angelica brought today. And so stuff like this, especially the mezcal, he was a big, big mezcal lover. And that, for the Oaxacan people, you know, majority of them, if you ask them, it's like their holy water. Uh-huh. So they really, really like worship that.
Well, now what if Grandpa smoked cigars? Would you put cigars on the
Yes, altar? You know, whether it's cigars, cigarettes, you know, whatever they enjoyed, you know, you put that up there, because that is some of the stuff that they, you know, they enjoyed in their life. So you're just bringing stuff, you know, to the altar, what, you know, essentially what that person really enjoyed in life. Mm-hmm. And of course you have family gathered around, you know, because the family for us is the most important, you know, especially during those times, because their spirits are coming back and living with you during those 1 or 2 days that you're celebrating.
Oh. Well, and you say that, of course, in every part of Mexico that it's celebrated differently, but can we agree that this, the home of mole was Oaxaca, or no?
I think so.
Yes, I think we agree on that one, yeah.
Okay, so the people of Oaxaca created this mole, and it has dozens of ingredients?
Well, there's more than one mole.
There's more than one mole.
Yeah. You said seven moles. Yes.
Oh, there's seven different moles.
Yes.
Of different colors.
And also Diego is a future chef, a future taking over the restaurants for the family.
Oh.
He can explain to you all the mole that we make, because he's been working in the food.
Thank you. So my father, he sent me up to, I don't know if you've heard of Montage.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So I used to work for Montage for a couple years.
Fancy schmancy.
Yeah, you know, a little bit more, you know, higher end place there. But, you know, there I got the opportunity to really learn and gain a lot of knowledge and experience. I've worked, you know, there with many different Michelin star chefs. And, you know, we do a lot of, you know, events and banquets where they bring, you know, worldwide famous, you know, chefs and whatnot. So you really learn a lot from, you know, different chefs, you know, and stuff like that throughout the world. But like I said, like my uncle said, our mole, we like to really focus on, right now we focus really just deeply on three, just because each mole is very complex. The black mole, just one sauce has 23 different ingredients. So it's like a French sauce, like a Bordelaise or an au poivre, where, you know, it takes days to make. So, you know, our mole, our black, just our one sauce takes up to five days to make that my grandmother still makes today in our store at Casa de Mole in Healdsburg. So it's a very labor-intensive process. So you got to really love it.
So is it expensive to buy it from you?
You know, we've made it so that it's affordable for, you know, anybody to come into either the stores or one of the restaurants to buy it. We do, I believe it's 13-ounce jars. So we have our own jars that we jar the mole with. But yes, we do the mole negro, which is the black mole, and then we do the mole rojo, which is the red one, and then we do pipián. Pipián, think of like an Italian pesto almost. It's a mole, a green mole that basically, I would say about 80% of it consists of pumpkin seeds.
Yeah,
so, you know, it's more, that's what my take on it, is how I look at it, is, you know, think of like pesto or something like that.
So what's your favorite mole dish?
My favorite mole dish is either going to have to either be the mole chicken, which we serve in agave up in Healdsburg. So, you know, my grandma growing up, we've always had mole, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I've had it many different ways. But yeah, my favorite is going to have to be the mole served with chicken. You know, I personally, you know, I love chicken. So, and the mole pairs excellent with anything, you know, whether it's seafood, like you guys were talking about earlier, the black cod. Or, you know, even vegetables by itself is excellent. Yeah.
Does grandma listen to some special music when she's making the mole?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, he put his special radio station there. Yes,
she does.
Yeah, she puts, you know, the new, you know, Mexican news, or, you know, maybe some, you know, music, you know. But yeah, you know, it's really, really interesting process, because I've had the opportunity to watch and, you know, learn from her.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys watched, remember watching the hot chocolate, water for chocolate or something like that, the movie?
Yes. Oh, like water for chocolate.
Yeah, sure. Water for chocolate.
Yes.
Yeah.
So almost my mother is like that, okay? So he put his music just to get all his ingredients in his mood, okay? His
car,
you know, so he's, as soon as they wake up, he put his radio station in the, you know, on the some kind of level. So the radio station is all day long there.
So we should have them offer a class, don't you think?
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Yeah. A mole making class.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about doing that at the restaurant?
We've been doing it in the past. We stopped because of COVID. We did it in some, we have a special restaurant to do all those things. But we want to do that in the future, because it's really important. And actually, personally, I have a lot of fun, you know, helping my mom.
I bet. And, you know, a Mexican friend of mine who makes mole, he said he if he's in a bad mood, he will not make the mole. I mean, it's interesting. He said, I have to be really joyful and happy, because if I'm not, that anger will transfer to the mole.
Well, you know, that's true generally about cooking. That angry food makes angry food.
Angry people make angry food.
It's like with chefs. It's don't be angry, because it shows up in your food.
Yes.
That's why when you see a happy chef all the time smiling, you know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and I want you, Angelica, to speak about the festival next Saturday. Who's going to be there? The musicians, the vendors, the food, the activities for the kids. There's so much going on, and we want to make sure our listeners know about that.
And this beautiful bread that you brought.
Oh, we have tamales also, and the tamales are really special. Well, I want to talk about those.
Okay.
So we'll talk about tamales, we'll talk about mole, and we have to eat something. And then we'll finish off with this beautiful, the bread from Castaneda's Market in Windsor.
Yes.
Okay. A special edition today, a preview of next weekend's great festival in Windsor on the KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash in the kitchen.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
Agricultural community farmers markets bring you fresh produce, meat, and dairy each week year-round.
Saturday and Wednesday mornings, 8:30 to 1, the tradition continues at the Santa Rosa Community Farmers Market in Farmers Lane Plaza. Holiday events are starting up. Join in the Halloween pumpkin hunt Saturday, October 26th.
November 2nd, it's the Day of the Dead Crafts for Kids. Find marigolds for your altar at Ortiz and Coyote Family Farms. Santa Rosa Seafood has fresh from the dock fish every Saturday, as well as specialty salads, Chipino clam chowder, and local oysters from Marin. Jamaican Jerk has hot prepared Jamaican food for lunch or dinner. Chava's Pizza makes everything from scratch and bakes your pizza to order in a wood-fired oven. Tacos Costa Sonoma offers tasty tacos, quesadillas, and mouth-watering breakfast burritos. Mr. Dim Sum joins the fun as well. Start your holiday shopping. There are lots of local artisans selling candles, jewelry, soaps, and more. Expanded curbside shopping service available.
Info online at ilovefarmersmarkets.org.
Does your business need advertising but cash flow is a challenge? Then contact us at the My Sonoma Deals program. It's a cashless program based on trade. Are you a restaurant, a golf course, a boutique, car wash, bowling alley, jewelry store, or florist? There are so many categories. Contact My Sonoma Deals now to find out if your business qualifies. Just go online to mysonomadeals.com and click on contact. That's mysonomadeals.com and click on contact.
Children and men and women of all ages live in fear every day due to domestic violence, elder abuse, sexual assault, stalking, or human trafficking. The Family Justice Center, Sonoma County, is here to help, providing free and confidential support, including civil and criminal legal issues, immigration support, and more. For help or to donate, visit fjcsc.org, fjcsc.org. This message is a service of Ongaro & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Electrical, and Solar. Because we care.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated in the best hearing aids of 2024 by USA Today, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, just $189.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 500,000 happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.com.
Are you the parent of a 2 to 7-year-old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the Parents' Choice Award-winning online learning program that's actually changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month. But you have to go to abcmouse.com/radio to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/radio.
Sponsored by Age of Learning.
I'm KSRO's Daniel Trucios with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Mostly sunny for today, a high of 77 in Santa Rosa, 63 on the coast. Not much wind in the forecast. Chance of light rain for tonight, low of 54 degrees. A little bit of rain for tomorrow, but under a quarter of an inch. High of 69, 59 along the coast. Monday, lighter rain, if any. Temperatures still in the high 60s. Depend on weather every 30 minutes. And FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9. KSRO.
There we go. In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash, and we're dining on some beautiful mole with some tamales, and we will have the chefs describe what we're tasting this morning. So, Diego, would you and Pedro, would you tell us about what we're having as far as the dish goes?
Yes, Steve, thank you. So, starting off with the carnitas, mm-hmm. It's going to be the... like Pedro said, it's going to be a little bit more spicier mole. So they added a little bit, essentially a little bit more chili to it. Compared to the mole that is covered on the New York steak that you're having there to your right. Mm-hmm. That one's going to be our traditional, you know, black mole, grandmother's recipe. That one, I think, pairs a little bit more better with the steak, just because, like Chef John Ash said, has a little bit sweeter note to it, you know? Because that one's more, I would say, more balanced. Instead of having a little bit more chili to it, with the chocolate to the chili ratio, so I think, you know, that's why we decided to do that. And the carnitas, you know, it has that spicier mole on it because, you know, it's good to have a little kick to the carnitas, you know, helps, you know, spruce it up a little bit.
So for those who don't know, what are carnitas?
Carnitas is going to be pork. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so
and how is it fixed?
So we cook it in lard. We actually put some beer in there as well. Beer adds a great flavor to carnitas for those home cooks at home. Yeah, so that's the secret there. And then we also add, different spices as well as, orange. You know, we do orange juice, fresh squeezed, and a couple different ingredients in there. And that really helps, keep it very moist because carnitas, it's very easy to make them, go dry. Like I said, just adding that juice in there, the beer, and then just having plenty of fat in there, really helps it keep it, great flavor.
And Angelica, would you talk about the tamales?
Yes. So these tamales come from Yuca Mami, and she's located inside of Mitote Park. One of my absolute favorites. It's actually a whole experience, which I'll talk about in just a second. But she comes from Mérida, Yucatán. And so her tamales, just like I mentioned earlier, tamales can vary from region to region, just like all of the Mexican cuisine, depending on where the family is from, the ingredients that are available, etc. And so her tamales are from Yucatán and are very regional dish or recipe that she has, and they're wrapped in a banana leaf, which does give it a different flavor. And much like I know you all have invited me to talk about my family's tamales in the past and the nixtamal, but with these, much like actually the opposite of my family, we use the corn husk, and she uses the banana leaf, which does give it a distinct flavor. They are personally one of my favorite tamales around, and it's with the experience. When you walk up, Yuca Mami's there, she greets you. It's just like walking into a family. From the first time that I walked up, she's like, hola, mi amor, and just very loving, and it's just that warm feeling that I get, like, you just get that feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm home kind of feeling, where she just talks to you. And such. And so it's very much an experience. Besides the food being amazing and delicious, she starts with all ingredients from scratch. And one of my personal favorite things that I didn't find out actually until this morning when I was talking to her, because I typically don't ask people what their ingredients are, just from coming from a family that has also been in the restaurant industry and such. I don't really ask different people.
They won't share secrets.
Well, the thing is, I mean, my grandmother has a recipe that was passed down 5 generations, and we start with the nixtamal. And so sometimes those are sacred family things that it's like, you don't just, go. My grandma was very protective. She's like, you don't go around like telling everyone like how to do it. I mean, we're kind of changing where we're all sharing our knowledge and sharing now. And so times are changing, but that's just something that I don't ask people. She told me this morning that she renders all of her own fat, and that is very unique because there's not a lot of places that do that. But that to me is like, wow, like she starts from scratch, renders all of her fat, natural fat, which is just, I love them even more.
So the Yuca Mami, they're at the Mitote Park. You can get them there. Will they be at the festival next Saturday?
She will not. Oh. She'll be at Mitote.
Oh, she'll be at, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so you got to go to get them from here. And she makes her own tortillas, doesn't she, and other things? Or do you know?
She makes empanadas. Empanadas. And I'm not sure about tortillas. Pedro?
Don't know.
Not sure? Okay. Not sure about that.
And her name's Rosie?
Rosie, uh-huh.
Rosie Sanchez?
Rosie Sanchez. It?
Okay. Yep. So this is beautiful. Thank you for bringing in these tamales. These are
They're
gorgeous.
Delicious.
Let's take a break. And I'm ready for some
dessert.
Okay? And we'll tell you more about the activities, especially let's zero in on what to do with the kids and grandkids next Saturday.
Absolutely.
It's our early Dia de los Muertos festival here at the KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash in the kitchen.
KSRO, Bay Area home of the Las Vegas Raiders, with Jason Horowitz, Eric Allen, and Lincoln Kennedy. Don't miss the action. Every Raiders game is here on KSRO.
License number 254603.
Aunt Laura? Holy, we're here 1 minute, gone the next. Aunt Laura!
What's up, Danny?
Oh, geez. I was just... Wait, where did you come from?
My office, what's up?
Oh, well, I was thinking about Gatelli Gold.
The Comfort Club loyalty credits?
Yes, and that Gatelli Gold is also the standard that Grandpa Gatelli has passed down to us.
Dad always did want us to do a better job than anyone else.
He told me once that if you are not happy with any part of the service, that we should always make it right.
It's settled then.
Aunt Laura?
Gold standard service. If you're not happy, we'll make it perfect.
Always?
always.
E-O-T-E-L-L-I, go Telly!
Okay, make it so, Danny.
Okay, Aunt Laura, I will.
Gotta go.
And gone again.
For Gatelli's guaranteed gold standard service, visit us online at GatelliPlumbing.com.
Imagine a place where tradition meets innovation, a place where every baker, from beginner to pro, is part of a thriving community. Welcome to Central Milling's Artisan Baking Center in Petaluma, where this beautiful facility is more than just a state-of-the-art baking facility. It's a hub for lifelong learning and skill mastery.
With world-class instructors in a variety of classes tailored to all skill levels, you'll find the perfect fit, whether you're just starting out or refining your craft. And right now, use the coupon code BAKE15 to get 15% off any in-person class.
Artisan Baking Center is not just a baking facility. It's the farmer, the miller, and the baker all working together to preserve American farmland for tomorrow. Employee owned and operated, their team is personally invested in the quality of their products.
Go online to see all the classes available. From pizza to desserts, baguettes to pastas, you're going to find a class just right for you. Use code BAKE15 to get 15% off any in-person class. Go to centralmilling.com and click on Bake.
I get to go play and see friends while my people go see their friends. Wait. What's this? This isn't Paradise Pet Resort.
This place doesn't let us play all day and only has little cages.
Yeah, I want to go to Paradise. More fun, more playtime, all included with no extra fees.
Yeah, that saves our people money so they can buy us more treats.
Pets prefer Paradise. Pet tested, pet approved. ParadisePetResorts.com.
Paradise Pet Resort.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
John Ash from the Chaos Arto Kitchen celebrating Dia de Muertos early. The official festival is next Saturday up in Windsor, but we got a jump head start on it. So talk about the beautiful breads here, would you, Angelica?
Absolutely. So we have some pan de muertos, and this came from Jose Castañeda of Castañeda's Market in Windsor. And he's a small family-owned business, and they've been in Windsor since 2007, and he provided us with this beautiful bread. And he also is doing a giveaway for one lucky listener that's going to provide one of these for. So fabulous. We'll figure out how to do that. But Jose has his own bakery there in the market, and much like all the other things that we've discussed, you know, everyone does it differently.
So can you tell us exactly where his market is?
Yes. It is in the Palms Plaza in Windsor on Old Railroad Highway. I'm the worst person to ask for directions. I'm going to be like, you just pass the tree, you go to the right, and then you go to the left. but it's right across from Our Lady of Guadalupe in that Palms Shopping Center there.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So he is in there, and actually,
well, this bread is fluffy, it's delicious, and it's so colorful, it makes you feel like you're a kid when you're eating this. It's just beautiful.
One of the things I was mentioning is, there's different types of bread. Some of the more ones that you've seen may be a little smaller. Mm-hmm. I haven't actually seen the large ones like this. Have you? Is this?
Yes.
Oh, yep. Do you know more about it?
Well, I don't know more about it, but when I grew up in Mexico, Oaxaca, you see those things, it's like large. 3 feet, you know.
Wow. Right.
So basically bread and Dia de los Muertos is huge. Mm-hmm. And also, like, you know, we're talking about bread. There's a thousands of varieties of bread, and Diego's been in the mercado of the bread over there. So, and it's amazing. So different cultures, also different, you know, areas where the bread is totally different. Yeah. And
so are these sweet breads, or?
It's a little sweet. Uh-huh. Some of the people put, like, a lot of egg yolk.
Uh-huh. Egg yolk.
Uh-huh. And a lot of butter. And some of that a little more dry. But it just depends, you know, the
Every baker is different.
Baker is
different. Some have raisins. Do you ever have raisins in them?
I never see one with raisins.
Okay. I like raisin bread. Maybe I'll make my own.
Make your own recipe, huh?
This one is stunning. This skull.
Yes. And so this is actually what I like also is that, just like Bethel mentioned, you know, there's different traditions and different cultures, but also every family puts their own spin on it, you know, mm-hmm. like every good baker can kind of come up with their own. And so this is in shape of a skull, which is a little bit different.
Do you have to order these in advance or will they have those this
coming
week?
They have them there. In fact, when I was there, I'm like, should I snag a few? Oh,
oh, people are going to want this. People are going to want this.
It's absolutely beautiful.
It's gorgeous. But get them early on.
I don't know if I can eat one of these. I've never seen one 3 feet, but you know, one of the beautiful things that I love about culture is we're all about family, community.
What I was going to say,
and
this is for family.
We just all break bread together. Yeah. So beautiful. Yeah.
So for the kids, we are running out of time, but is there face painting next Saturday for the kids?
There is. There will be Calavera painting for the children, as well as we'll be making sugar skulls.
Sugar skulls.
We won't be making them. I'm already making them, but we won't be making them there because they do need to dry out. Mm. So we will be painting or decorating, so we'll have a special kind of frosting that dries out with
what
the
time
sugar.
Does the festival begin?
It starts at 3 and it ends at 8. Right. We'll have the Cali Calmeca Ballet Folklorico as well as Ballet Folklorico.
So dancing
Sarita.
And music?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And tons of food.
And the lowrider cars, and then all the Latino food trucks are there. Mm-hmm. And the Mercado, the Mercadito.
Yes, we'll have vendors. Vendors with there artisan too. Vendors. For this event, we try to really focus on staying with the culture and tradition. So we'll have like specific vendors that are making their items for this specific event.
And dances, music,
yes,
everything.
Absolutely.
And it's a free festival.
It's a free festival. It's family family oriented. We'll also have Sonoma County Pomo dancers there. Reason being is we are really big on focusing on the cultural celebration aspect of it and the spiritual aspect. And so we have our Mexica dancers that will be coming out. And one of the things is to include the Sonoma County Pomo dancers because we are on their land. So as an indigenous community all together, you know, we're respectful of that. And so some of the practices and some of the beliefs, it depends who you ask, believe in having them also.
Angelica, thank you so much for organizing this, for bringing in, and for us to get a chance to meet both Pedro and Diego.
Yeah.
Yes. And thank you both for bringing in the beautiful mole.
Thank you. Would you
thank Rosie for gifting
Absolutely.
Us the tamales?
Yes.
And make sure you put this on your calendar for next Saturday in the afternoon. Bring your kids, the family. It's a family event. It's wonderful.
Yes.
There's so much to do for everybody.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you all so much. John Ash, thank you.
Yeah, you're
next
welcome.
Week, it's Rose Levy Barenbaum and the debut of the greatest baking book probably in history.
You know, I heard an interview with her in which she took the book and dropped it. It's twice as big.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And it's the 35th anniversary of the Baking Bible.
Yeah.
Rose Levy Barenbaum will be here in our studio to debut the release of this book. It's a landmark, so don't miss next week's show.
It's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's